I just heard a story. Now, I normally try to verify stories before I say them. I wasn't unable to verify. It's a story about Rabban Kotler. And I sent earlier today an email to verify the story. I didn't get a reply yet, so hopefully by tomorrow I'll know for sure that it's a true story. I have some questions on the story, quite a few of them, but it's still worthwhile, I think, just thinking about it. The story is of Rabban Kotler, 1945, Devad Hatzolah. Rabban Kotler in America was a yeshiva in Lakewood, which was in those days a very, very tiny yeshiva. In fact, a few years later, when Rabban Kotler was nifted, they thought he was going to shut down. He was very small. Rabban Kotler was busy. He was trying very hard to get, after the war, the survivors. He was during the war. He was busy trying to rescue the Yidden in Europe, but it wasn't particularly successful. But after the war, he tried very much to get the Yidden out from the DP camps after the war, and he did some diplomatic efforts and lobbying until he managed to get the governor, he was hard to get people to immigrate. It was very hard to, it was only a very limited amount of immigrants who were allowed to go into the United States. And therefore the Yidden who were left, the survivors in DP camps, was hard for them to just get into America. So Rabban Kotler, Zichron Livrach, what he did, he consulted, he did some lobbying, and the governor was responsible of the immigration. The governor officer, I forgot his legal, his exact position. They agreed that people who are going to join the yeshiva, they're considered clergy, they're considered clay kodesh, and they are not part of the figures, and therefore it's easy for them to emigrate to the United States. So anybody who's going to sit and learn in Kotel, in Lakewood Kotel, will be fine to pack their bags from the DP camps and go to America, to Lakewood. And this was quite a major achievement, and he tried therefore to get as many people as possible to leave the desolate DP camps and move to America to save and... However, there was one particular Nevada yeshiva. After the war, they found themselves in France. There's quite a lot of stories about Nevada Yeshiva in France after the war. Nevada Gebochen, they were there. And the person was, the American officer, who was responsible, the governor was responsible for that particular DP camp in France, in the liberated France. He didn't allow the Bochen to go to America, just didn't allow it. He vetoed it, which of course was against the legal reality, because back in America, they had authorized it, and he just didn't allow it. So Rabban Kotler therefore called upon one of his people that he knew had some connection with his governor in France, and he said, you know, you better go off. He called him in, he said, you go now and you travel to France, and you sort it out, and you say that it's okay. And he said, fine, okay, I'll go, but let me just go back home. I'm going to get organized, I'll travel tomorrow in 2 days' time. He said, no, you go and you go now. Here's a ticket, you go, you've got a military airplane which was traveling to France, you're going to embark on this military airplane, you're going to go there now, right now. And they said, alright, okay, let me just phone my wife. And that's just what he did. And he traveled literally in a military airplane, he went to France to sort it out. He was Matzliach, I forgot his name now, of this particular love, I forgot my name, he was Matzliach, and he managed to release those boys from the DP camps, as it were, and allowed them to go to America. On his way back, lo and behold, the plane that his men take crashes on the sea, and everybody dies. And the wife of this particular officer, who did all that rescue efforts, called up Rabban Kotler and says, "My wife died. My husband died on his way back from this DP camp. He died in the ocean. There was a terrible tragedy." And Rabban Kotler then said, "He said." Definitely didn't die. He definitely didn't die. It's not an aguno. You know, there's no. The plane collapsed into the ocean. You know, I'm an aguno. There's nothing. He said, "No, I'm telling you now. You're not an aguno. You'll be all right. Wait a couple of days. Don't even sit shiver. Nothing. You'll be all right." And Kachav, exactly as the man Kotler said, 2 days later, she gets a phone call from her husband who was in Canada. He said, "I'm back in Canada. I took another plane. I didn't take that plane. I missed it. Whatever. I got into another plane. And I wasn't that plane that actually collapsed in the, uh, um, drowned in the ocean. And the Baran Kota said, I knew that your husband was not going to die. I knew 100% sure. Because the Gemara says, Shlucha mitzvah, eni nizoykin, loy be'alichoson, v'lo be'chazeroson. Shlucha mitzvah cannot, it will not, get damaged. They will not, because as long as Shluch HaMitzvah is on his way to do a mitzvah, both on his way there, on his way back, nothing will happen to him. It can't be, he was a Shluch HaMitzvah. He just did an enormous mitzvah by freeing those people from the DP camps. Nothing can happen to him, and nothing would happen to him, and nothing happens to him. Shluch HaMitzvah and his working, he was such confidence in Dilei Chazal that he allowed her not to sit Sheba, not, and he was sure she was not an Aguna. Van Kotler, his enormous belief and trust in Divrei Chazal. Okay, Rabbeisai, we are up to Siman Tov Kuf Samach Zayin. We'll be learning tonight the halachas of brushing teeth on Tisha B'Av. I also want to talk about taking medicines on not necessarily Tisha B'Av, in fact, on all the Tanaisim. And perhaps we'll touch also on the topic of, so what if somebody made a bracha on a fast by mistake? On a foot. Let's go slow. Save base, Rabbi Yisrael, we are top of the page. Yesh oimrim, some say, shelo yitiru revi'is, bepam achas, elo me'at me'at. Sorry, Siman Tov Kuf Samach Zayin. Just after the page. Sorry, I said the wrong C's. You're right. Sorry. Top of page. Mem Gimel in our editions. Yesh oim, shelo yitiru revi'is, bepam achas, elo me'at me'at. We said last year that in principle tasting food in the minor Tanaisim is tasting food is mutter. So he says, yeah, it's true, tasting food is okay, but not revis b'machas. It's a revis which is tasting, which is, but not if you have revis in one go. Don't just go and have you know, alright, this is how much the revis, like this. Yeah, so I'm going to have a busy one. Go, no, that's not. If you're slowly, if you take a little bit, that's what's permitted in a fast day. No. Some are more lenient and say, no, you can actually have a revis in one go on a minor task. However, that's all with regards to tasting. But after the tasting, what do you do with it? You spit it. Of course, can't drink it. As long as you know, as long as you know you're not going to swallow. Here is the machloikas. Swallowing on the minor fast days is certainly awesome. Can't swallow, can't eat and drink on these fast days. But what you can do is if you taste a bit and you spit it out. So now here's the machloikas. Can you do a whole amount of avias? You won't go and spit it out. Some say you can, some say you can, some say you can't. Because all you're allowed to do is revis. Slowly, you take a little bit, you spit it out. You take a little bit, you spit it out. You take a little bit, spit it out, all together, an amount of revis. This is the machloikas over here. I suppose people would do that if they feel very dehydrated. I've never tried it, but it may help. Somebody feels dehydrated in his mouth. Yeah, yes, very good comparison actually. If you don't want to be meaty, you want to have your coffee later on, and you want to taste some soup and you spit it out, certainly after 1 hour you can, yeah, sure, if, yeah, absolutely, it's a good comparison.
1 hour,
some would be more lenient even than that. Some say you don't have to wait at all, but some say 1 hour you should wait. Yeah, but that's if it's liquid. If it would something that you chew, there would be a problem. Okay. I imagine there's a greater chashash then that you're going to swallow. Even if you're taking a little bit, but if you're doing a lot of times, which adds up to a volume of this, eventually you may end up, I'm guessing, I'm not sure, but it might be pshat. Okay, now, what is of importance is the disclaimer of the Shulchan Aruch. You're allowed to do this as long as what? As long as you make sure you're not going to swallow. Why is this important? In relevance to what?
brushing teeth. Siv Gimel. Mi shadar kali chayitz piv b'shachis. Whoever has the very good custom of rinsing his mouth b'shachis in the morning. I suppose it's a good idea. Betaynis tzibah loy koshel ma'vidach. However, when it comes to a public fast, it's not a great idea to do that. It's not good. You're not allowed to rinse your mouth on fast days. Avol, but betaynis yochid. On a private individual fast, sure, it's permitted to give and shepoil it since you are spitting it out. So, this is glass clear, goes without further investigation. If you're taking yourself a minor fast, you're taking it, not a minor, if you're taking yourself, you're accepting on yourself a private fast, you can for sure brush your teeth. There's no shy about it. The question is, well, we have on a public fast. Let's just finish the Ramah, then we're going to get back to Halacha Lemaisa. You're allowed to chew atzei kinamon. What's kinamon? Cinnamon. Cinnamon sticks. I don't remember seeing them, I don't think. Cinnamon sticks. You're allowed to chew that. V'shab, some other nice smelling substances which you chew. The eight mosaic and a sweet branch of tree or something, which is some kind of chewing sweet mouth cleaner. To hydrate his mouth and throat. Throat and spit it out afterwards. Excluding Yom Kippur, which is also. Okay, so that's again a clear-cut head to excluding Yom Kippur. If you want to chew something which helps you hydrate your mouth, you'd have to do that. So, yeah, I was thinking that Lemaisa, the post came to, why is it different than a chewing gum? To me, it sounds like a first cousin of a chewing gum. But I don't think post came would allow a chewing gum on in the fast days. But it sounds like very similar. So generally, perhaps we're going to say that chewing gum, why is it different than a stick that you chew? You also spit it out. Perhaps you don't spit it out, right? The chewing gum.
You do spit it out.
Yeah, no, but the
taste goes into you.
You do swallow the taste. That's why we make a broch on chewing gum. Because there is the sugar and the chemicals, I suppose, you eat and you swallow. So perhaps that's why it's different. All right, okay. But with regards to
tamarind, which is something called gut.
What's that?
It's a flat. It's a vegetable. It grows like a plant. Gut.
And it's chew. It chews.
They chew it for like a whole day.
Really?
They hide from
it. Really. Okay, what is it? It's a
flower, no plant.
Okay, so that would be probably what the equivalent of this kinamoin and the sharp somim, which you're allowed to do that on. It sounds like you're allowed to do that on the fast days. Now, Rabbi Isai, there's a very helpful Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Aleph. We learned washing your mouth in the fast days, Shulchan Aruch says, is
minor fast days
is loy koshel imavidochi. You're not allowed to do that, right? Mi shidak olichot pi v'shachis Shulchan Aruch in Gimel, but Tainis Tzibul loy koshel imavidochi. You're not allowed to do that. Tainis Yochel is okay. Private fast is okay. Public fast, you're not allowed to. That's what we've learned so far. But the story doesn't finish there, because Mishnah Berurah comes to rescue the situation. In Sifkot Yud Aleph, Mi Avidochi, Uvemokim Tza Yesh Lehatir. If you are in, how are we going to translate Mokim Tza? What's Mokim Tza? Discomfort. What?
Crowded.
No, Mokim Tza. No Mokim Tzar. Mokim Tzar. How are we going to say discomfort, unpleasant? במקום צער יש להטיס פמיטד ריחיץ אספה במים בכל טיינס ציבור. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Achronim. Yeah, don't freak out that quickly.
on public fast, if it's true, loy kosher lemavidachi, you're not allowed to brush your teeth, mouthwash, is also, says the Shulchan Aruch, but if it's makom tzar, if it's discomfort, if it causes discomfort, and the fast days, it's permitted. Excluding, rak shizoy b'yoysa, you must be very careful, lichvoy v'roishoy, to bend your head, upiv your mouth, lemato, down, shaloyovoy, ligroin, that you shouldn't swallow it. Va'afilu b'tishabov yesh lehativ, and on tishabov it's permitted, kshuloy tzar godoil, when it's a great agony. Even such instance would be also. So I've got three levels. Actually, let's count all the levels. Yom Kippur, no brushing teeth, no mouthwash whatsoever. Okay. Level underneath that is Tisha B'Av. What's in Tisha B'Av? What are we going to say? Tisha B'Av, brushing teeth and mouthwash is also, unless it's Tzar Godoil. How are we going to say Tzar Godoil? Means if it's really, really, really uncomfortable. Not just, it's really uncomfortable. Okay, that's Tisha B'Av. All the other public fasts, such as the forthcoming Shivasa B'Tammuz, what else? Asor B'Teves, Tanis Esther, all those fasts. If it's a Tzar, discomfort, you're allowed to do that. And if it doesn't cause you Tzar, if you couldn't care less, it's going to be also. Public, a private fast, if you say tomorrow I'm fasting that, it's always going to be permitted. Somebody once told me, but I think it's untrue, someone told me, whoever brushes teeth every day, what do you think? Whoever brushes teeth every day, in the morning, it's going to be a tzar, not to brush, no, it's going to be a tzar, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Right, that's what I heard once. No, I think it would be considered tzar. But looking at the Shulchan Aruch today, I found this is probably incorrect. Why? But somebody brushes teeth every day. Is he allowed to brush his teeth on Shavuot Tammuz? So Rav Kagan says, and I felt for many years the same way as I heard that once.
Oh,
exactly, exactly, exactly. I totally agree with Rabbi Kagan. That's what I found out today. That the Shulchan Aruch starts off, Mishadaka, Lichot, Zbib, Shachis, Betanet, Zib, Loi, Koshan, Mavidachi. That's obviously talking about somebody who does it every day. On that, the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but if you've got a tzar, it's permitted. So it sounds like that somebody brushes every day, it's not necessarily qualified as tzar, not necessarily. But halacha lemaaseh, boy, say if it causes discomfort, if you feel uncomfortable and not brushing teeth, if it disturbs you, it makes you, you just can't, how should we say it? If it causes a certain, then it's going to be permitted, and a person will be allowed to therefore brush his teeth in the morning. Not on Tisha B'Av, unless it's Tzar Gadol. How are we going to define Tzar Gadol? That Tisha B'Av would be fine. What's Tzar Gadol? But toothache, brushing teeth doesn't really help. By the time it hurts, it's too late to brush teeth. In my experience. I don't know what Tzar Gadol means. If it's like really, he can't function. He Ramesh can't function. Yeah. It doesn't seem to make a difference. It doesn't seem to make a difference. He's talking about the Ramah's words is going on the cinnamon stick that you're chewing. In terms of brushing teeth, it won't make a difference. Where are you?
In the note 9
in the issue.
For a sore tongue. Because
sometimes
illness of the tongue or something, and you have to wash. But even
on your kippah, it says it. Ah. Okay. Alright, okay. Doesn't sound like that's in line with the Mishnah Berurah. Now, there is an additional tzvah as well, which the Mishnah Berurah ends off in Sifkot Yud Beis,
And he says that somebody who's drinking something, says, it's vinegar, is always going to be permitted. Something is vinegary, acidy, it's going to be fine as well. Rabbi Yisai, here comes the question. What's the halacha of swallowing tablets in the minor fast? Paracetamol on Shavuot Tammuz. Pardon? So it should be fine. You swallow it with or without water. You pop it in your mouth and you swallow. Yeah? I was a boch in Gateshead Yeshiva, and I remember I had a splitting headache. In Gateshead, you know, it's nacht, it's very late, yeah? So it was one of the summer tanesim, probably Shavuot Tammuz. I don't remember anymore. This is going back a number of years. And I had a splitting headache in the afternoon of Shiva, probably in the summer of Tanesim, and the fast goes on another 6 hours, you know, another 5 hours. And I had a massive headache. And then I want to know if I can break my fast. So I went to the Rav, and I was sure he was going to say, listen, if you've got such a splitting headache, you know, break your fast. So I went to a Talmud Chacham, to a Choshev Rav, and I asked him, you know, I don't want to break my fast without Heter Chacham, I want to know if I can break my fast. And he said, no, have you had the paracetamol against your headache? I said, no. So he said, take a paracetamol, make sure without water. It was not the tshuva I expected to hear, but halachically makes a lot of sense. He said, pop in a paracetamol, just make sure without water. Because there's a strong argument to say that taking a tablet, is not considered eating. The basis of this is not a Mishnah Berurah, but it's a Likut Halachas, hidden away, tucked away nicely in the middle of Seif Katan Zayin in Behetiv over here. Very hidden, commonly forgotten, neglected, and misunderstood, because we've misquoted often. You've got in Seif Katan Zayin in Behetiv, if you can see it, can you see it? In Seif Katan Zayin in Rashi, Seif Katan Zayin in Behetiv. Right, and then he says, Ein halakat. Can you see it? So in early editions, depends on which Mishnah Berurah you've got, it's misquoted, Dvar Shmuel. But over here it says, Likutei Halachos. He says, Ein Likutei Halachos chelek beis, Simen Tzadidai, Lahatir, Likach, he allows to take, Trufa, Mora, bitter, medicine, betinus, on a fast day. It's permitted to take a bitter medicine on fast days. So if you have the strawberry ones, if you'd like to take the strawberry ones, which is more sugar than anything, you know the kids ones, you know the strawberry ones, and the vanilla taste. So that would be probably, it's probably also why. It's not bitter. It's got to be bitter and doesn't have a nice taste. What about the water with it? The water with it is going to be a problem. You're not allowed to drink, of course. So that remains. However, somebody once told me years ago, and I don't know if that's true or not, have you ever tried to open up a paracetamol? Yeah? So you could really, I don't know if you ever tried it, take a bit of water. Yeah? Take a bit of water like this. Open up the paracetamol, break it open. You get the taste, and it gets horrendous. It's horrendous. And you try to drink that, it's horrendous. It's medicine in its worst. It tastes incredibly, because when you swallow a tablet, all you have is just the aftertaste, a tiny bit of that, and that is multiplied many, many times if you break it open and you drink it. So that is certainly considered a bitter drink, the kola deus. So you could argue perhaps, if a person's got a splitting headache and he doesn't want to break his fast and he's unable to just take a paracetamol and swallow it in, so what he could do perhaps, what you think about Sai, you break the paracetamol, you put in a bit of water, it's going to be extremely bittery and acidy, and to swallow that may be a heter to go forward with somebody who wants to do that. What are your thoughts on that, about Sai? Yeah? That's if you don't want to breathe.
You have to be that as well, that so you have to lie down, or just, you know, feel like headed a bit. How bad do you have to be
to break the fast?
To take pills.
That's somebody who's got a headache who... No, you don't have. Yeah, it's somebody who wants to take a paracetamol.
Yeah.
Somebody who wishes to take a paracetamol because he's got a headache instead of breaking the fast. Okay, to summarize what we learned this evening, it's a really important halacha tonight in regards to fasting days and brushing teeth. So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, somebody who... So, the levels are as follows. On a private fast, everything is permitted. That's the lowest level. Private fast, brush your teeth as long as you want. Okay, the level on top of that is somebody who gets on the public fast. What's the halacha of public fast? Shavuos HaBeTamuz, Tanis Esther. What is it? What, is he allowed to brush your teeth? Yes or no? No, unless it's Tzar. If it's agony for him, not to brush the teeth, he's allowed to, says the Mishnah Berurah. Right. The level on the most stringent level is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to unless it's Tzar Godol, great agony. Great agony can't function without brushing your teeth. Then you'd be allowed to. And the level on top of that is Yom Kippur, which is categorically always forbidden. Right, okay, that's it for this evening.